Again, after I got done teaching 6th, 7th, and 8th grade reading and writing at McReynolds Middle School, I then went and taught 8th grade through high school public speaking and literature. How many of you love literature so much that you can barely sneeze at it? Me too. I had so much fun over the course of about 3 years. I was in this prayer mode, and my wife and I were in Houston, Texas. All my Texans out there. Like three of you, hooray, we are in Wisconsin. I didn't expect a roaring response. I was 3 years into teaching literature, and all of a sudden, there was this overwhelming sense that there was a story that I loved better than Atticus Finch, and you know what novel I'm talking about, To Kill a Mockingbird, even though I love that one very, very, very much. It was the stories that I found in Scripture. And so I began to pray and talk with Laura, my wife, and our newly born Anson. And we decided that we would journey into the local church. And what I began to do is, alongside junior high and high schoolers, I began to teach the story of Scripture. And so here we are this morning in Acts chapter 2, and I want to catch you up on where we came from last night. You guys may have seen these verses. Wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about. Remember who's talking in this moment? Begins with a J, rhymes with Jesus. Good, very good. The gift you have heard my Father promised. Wait, who's the Father? Who's Jesus' dad? Don't say Joseph. Begins with a G, rhymes with Yahweh. Good, God. For John baptized with water. Now, there was a backstory. Some of you may have said, what the heck, because the next words are weird. In a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then you might have read this verse, 8. When you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will receive power, because the Holy Spirit will come on you, and then you will be witnesses. How many of you said, hey, this witness language, I've heard this somewhere in the Bible before. And it's showing up again in the book of Acts. Now, here is my question. Hopefully, as you've watched these three slides come alive, you have noticed something. What have you noticed as we read them out loud? Yes, I'm asking questions, but what did you see? Yeah, different coloration. Because whenever we read a great story, we want to know this. What makes a great story a great story? Here's a hint. It's all in the right details. And so, as we're reading, here comes the Acts chapter 2. Please be aware of some of the details. When the day of Pentecost came, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. You guys, time out right there, because we should all be internally screaming, what the heck? Yes. Now, here's the question. What makes a great story a great story? You all know the right answer, which is the details. So when you read this first three verses, what are the details that make this great? Turn and talk to someone beside you. I'll give you about, 35 seconds, and then I'll call you back with this noise. Okay? Talk to someone about the great details that you find right here. Ready, go. Oh, you heard the noise. Well done. Here's the question. Out of this wild, what the heck story all of a sudden, what was one or two of the details that you saw? Someone from this side, red shirt in the back, hat. Yes. The violent wind. Who else was like, whoa, what is a violent wind? That's a fantastic question, and I'm going to give you a chance to tell me about it right there. Okay, from this side of the room, what was one of the great details that you guys saw that you'd be willing to share with me? Yeah, black shirt. Tongues of fire, exactly. I love that. Can we look at this really quickly, because I think you guys have nailed it. Suddenly, a sound like a violent wind came upon the house. Here's your next chance to talk. Are you ready? What would that experience be like? Now, the room should erupt, because you guys should be imagining yourself in that room? Did it feel like a tornado, a horror movie, a mosh pit, duh, Sunday morning with the Shabro brothers, mission trip experience, or something you would see on YouTube, or you guys could add your own answer? How will I call you back? Ready? Go. I didn't make the noise. Joseph is showing you all how to explode into sound and keep talking. Okay, do this really quickly. Let's go by hands. Who thinks the experience of a violent one would be like my friend John, who's a comedian, saying, I ate too many beets? Never mind, that was a farting joke. Tornado, who went with tornado? Violent wind, good, hands down. Who went with that? Sounds like a horror movie. Ay, ay, ay. Very nice. I'll take that. Tongues of fire, maybe. Who thought mosh pit? How many of you know exactly what I'm talking about if I say circle pit? Yeah, very few of us. Very nice. Sunday morning, this is always what it's like. Josh, violent wind. Thank you very much. Mission trip experience. Anybody ever had like something wild and violent happen on a mission trip? No? Me? Okay, I'll tell you a story. Catch me next time. I just came back from Honduras. Had something crazy happen. Something you would see on YouTube. Anybody? Like, yeah, I'd have to Google that. A few of us? Okay, here it comes. Does anybody have a better descriptor than what I've given you? Yeah. Like a roller coaster. I like it. Yes. Like a windstorm that you've already been in yourself. Good. So he had a natural experience that he attached it to. Yes. Ooh, the shattering of glass. Back row. Like a hurricane. Very good. I was in Houston with that kid I was telling you about, Anson. Hurricane Katrina came through. No big deal. We just had to drive 9 hours for a 3-hour trip because of all the... Ooh, anyway, different story. Yes. Ooh, the feeling before the storm hits, like this eerie, almost calm, and then the violent wind that comes after it. I love that. Big ending. Somebody gets my last one. The skydiving simulator where your cheeks go like this. Oh, you wanted me to do it. Okay. I didn't want to jack up the mic. I love that. Here is how I love to read scripture, and let me encourage you again and again and again. If you're going to learn how to find yourself and find God in a book like this, let me encourage you, almost high schoolers and true high schoolers, learn how to put yourself into an experience and begin to attach it. We'll keep walking forward. I said the great story, what makes a great story is a great story. The details of a great story make it a great story. And here is my new question. Out of these three verses, where should I put the emphasis? Emphasis, if you emphasize the wrong syllable, if you know what I mean. Where will we do it? Look at this. When the day comes, so should this be about a time they were all together? Should this be about who? Suddenly a sound? Should this be about a sound? Like, that becomes a simile. That's probably not going to be our emphasis. Our origin came from heaven. We're back to together in community. And then, or should we go supernatural? Do I need to run through those again, or did you all pay attention really well? See them one more time? Okay, here they come. What should be the emphasis? Should it be a time? Should it be a community? Should it be a sound? Should it be an origin? Should it be community? It showed up twice. Or should it be tongues of fire, the supernatural? You guys talk about it, and then I'll give your responses in just a minute. Ready? Go. Got it? You guys got it? Okay. Hey, real quickly, my name is Josh, and we may not have met yet. Do you know why I ask so many questions? Because I don't think I'm the smartest guy in the room. So I actually need you to talk about it and then talk back to me so that way we can learn together. Everybody good with that? That's why we do this like this. Okay, really quickly. Who thinks really quickly that the time is the most important piece of this, the right emphasis, when this happened? Okay, good. They were all together. Who thinks community is one of the most important emphases of this chunk? Good, I take it. Suddenly a sound. Who thinks that moment and the noise is, okay, very good, I like that, came from heaven? Who thinks origin is one of the most important pieces of this little chunkage? I'll take it. Where they were sitting, we're back to community again. And then the last one is the supernatural. Who thinks the supernatural is? Here is the spoiler and the great news, guys. I think in this moment, what we have to capture is something that Michael said last night around the campfire when he was praying. You guys may not remember that. I butchered John's name the first time, but this time I truly do mean Michael. Here's what he said. He said, "Lord, let your Holy Spirit come." He prayed that the Holy Spirit would come. And here, I think this is really important because when I read scripture for myself, here's what I see over and over throughout the whole of the story. There's this part of my Bible called the Old Testament. And the Holy Spirit shows up throughout the Old Testament, and it's called the Ruah. Say that. Very nicely done. Then there's this New Testament, which is my pink preaching Bible that I brought this time. And here the Holy Spirit is called the Pneuma. That's an easy one. Very nicely done. But in this particular verse, it only shows up one other time in the story. And it's called the Noe. Say that.
Noe.
The Noe. This is beautiful because here is the detail. The Noe gives everyone life and breath. Here's what you need to know about the Holy Spirit. He shows up throughout the entire story of the whole of the Old Testament and the New Testament, but I'm going to go way back really fast. He was a gift. He was coming, and then he did like this. Here is an incredible element to our next story. The idea of gift and the origin, those were very valuable understandings. Here's what Jesus says in John chapter 14. He says, "I, Jesus, will ask the Father, and the Father will give another advocate to help you and to be with you forever." The capital S, Holy Spirit of truth. The world doesn't accept him because it doesn't see him or know him, but you do. When Jesus is trying to tell you in the story about the Holy Spirit, you remember that one that was like a violent wind? He says you know him already. That's an incredible statement. Look at what John 16 says. "And I tell you, it is for your good that Jesus is leaving. Because if I don't go, then I won't and can't send the advocate to you. But if I do, I will." Here's your question. Ready? Get ready to talk. Here's your question. It sounded like Jesus just said, it's better for me to not be, wait for it, over here, here. Jesus just said, if I read his words correctly, that it's better for him to not be where? Like literally, like this close. That's what Jesus just said in John 14 and 16. And so how in the world could the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit, how could that top seeing Jesus face to face? Because remember last night, we were standing by the campfire. We were looking up, and there was these two men dressed in white, and they said, "Yo, what are you looking at?" Do you remember this question? What are you looking at? Here is the moment. Jesus said, if I don't go, you may not have the best answer. Could you talk about it real fast? What could be better than being able to say, "Yo, Jesus, did I get this one right? Ready? Talk about it. I'll call you back." What could top that? It's a hard one. You actually already know the answer. We've read it three times because you and I don't always know how to find the right details in the story, which make it a great story. We've missed it. Let me show you. The Holy Spirit's job would be like this. Jesus said in John 14 and John 16, "You already know who this is, and if I don't go, we won't send him." And so the Holy Spirit has a job. When he shows up in Acts chapter 2, and you guys will talk about this in your small groups, his job is to make Jesus known in your life. And so whenever you read scripture, you see this, prepositions for all my English geeks out there. They show you where something is. The Holy Spirit is with us, using the word meta. He is by us, using the word para. And he is in us, using, go for it, call me crazy, in. I know it's wild, isn't it? And here is the storyline. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire coming to rest on, check the preposition, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. Guys, it's an incredibly interesting understanding here as we read through the story to not miss the details. The believers, remember about how many there were from the campfire last night. Rhymes with a 1, ends with a 20. About 120. And here's what happens. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. What's the point of the Holy Spirit? Parentheses, you get it. Here's what filled with the Holy Spirit means. It means that it's something that is repeatable in your life. It's going to show up again. The Holy Spirit in us will show up again and again and again and again, which means daily, which will give us power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power. And this is incredible. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says this, you'll be my witnesses to everywhere. When you go into your cabins and you'll read chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 together, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, what you'll find is all kinds of countries. In fact, since you don't know how to pronounce Bible names quite yet, they're crazy. Let me read these for you. Here they come. Now they were in Jerusalem, and God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven were there. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language?" Get ready. Parthians, you guys should spell check me here, the Medes, the Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, that's my favorite one, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, the visitors from Rome, the Jews, the converts to Judaism, the Cretans and the Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Here's the aha. Whenever I read this verse, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and ends of the earth. Every name that I butchered right there was the known world at that time. And they were being spoken to about this. The wonder of God in their own tongues. Guys, this is my launch point for you into my prayer and my wrap-up. In the morning times, we're going to go short and sweet. It's going to be kind of heavy, intensive teaching, setting us up for the day. So today is Acts chapter 2. We're going to open it this morning. We'll close it tonight, and we'll be ready for Acts chapter 3 tomorrow. Tonight will be a little bit more interactive. I mean, for real, even more than we just did. So teaching in the morning, getting you ready for small groups, we're going to dissect these passages for yourself. You're going to find questions. You're going to talk together. And remember, counselors, your work is to say, "Huh, that's a good question. Let's capture that." Your work is to hold this scripture, to find the story, to catch the details that grab your attention, young readers, and to write them down. I'm left-handed, so I always write like I'm a Jewish person. Here is the ending. This violent wind shows up, and it's not something that brought fear to the room. It was God with them, God beside them, and God in them, in the Holy Spirit. And here's the crazy part. That is God's power alongside you as you hold the scripture and as you look for him. That's your work for today, to listen to a violent wind. Let me pray, and I'll pass it back to Joseph. Good job this morning. Get used to it. We're doing this a lot, okay? It'll be fast. Lots of talking. Holy Spirit, we look for you. And when we read scripture, the words promise us that not only will we find you, but we already know you. And so, God, we hold that promise. And I pray that over my friends. Amen.